Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth. And when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I will be with you for the next hour. We have a scheduled guest. We've been unable up to this point to get in touch with him. Hopefully, we will get him on the air. In the meantime, I'd like to just expound a bit on some of the goings-on that have hit the mainstream media, what is actually being done in terms of countering this on a worldwide scale. Let me say that we've been reporting about the world finance for a number of years. And on this show, since its inception, we've been talking about the corruption that's been going on. And these amounts of trillions of dollars seem to come out of nowhere all of a sudden, very recently. Bloomberg News reported that there's $9 trillion of, let's say, fraudulent or off-balance sheet investments going on. $9 trillion. There was a recent hearing with the Inspector General of the Federal Reserve being questioned by Congress and not very forthcoming, where she was asked if she's doing anything, if she's examined who received $1.1 trillion. And she couldn't say, no, I haven't examined it, or yes, I've examined it, or yes, we've examined it, or no, we have not examined it. She couldn't say a thing about it, other than to dance around the issue, which is typical of crooks, typical of embezzlers, typical of those who are corrupt. We've talked about that countless times on the show. And it bears repeating tonight, because now you've got the mainstream media sort of jumping in on this little smoke screen. I happen to be listening this evening to Rick Adams, who has been on our show very recently, in fact. I think he was on the end of this past month, and 28th seems to ring a bell for some reason. Anyway, Rick has been talking about this to some extent. I've been on his show a number of times, and we've gone over this with a fine-tooth comb. We talked about Wantagate. We talked about the trillions of dollars missing on September 10th, 2001, when Donald Rumsfeld was singing this sob story to Congress about missing $2.3 trillion from the Pentagon. Where do these people get that kind of money when they have a budget of $380 billion a year, which is obscene anyway? Where do they get trillions of dollars? Well, obviously, what we've been reporting is true, that they've been stealing this money, that the money, if for no other reason, is being printed by the Federal Reserve, and then the debt assigned to the people in the country. While they steal it, while they ship it off to a foreign country, start wars, murder millions of people, and then create laws to try to shut us up. And tonight, I'm not going to shut up. I'm going to talk about what's going on. It sounds like someone just cut me off. We have about $667 trillion initially being played in the derivatives hedge fund accounts. Let me repeat that amount, $667 trillion. Now, it's more likely in the quadrillions now. At least the Federal Reserve is upside down $3.3 quadrillion and counting, because they're spending money like it's going out of style. And they're stealing the money and putting it in offshore accounts. They've stolen the gold on top of it. But let's just deal with this arbitrary $667 trillion. Why are they reporting $1.1 trillion of off-balance sheet funds that are missing from the Federal Reserve? First of all, let's get it straight. The Federal Reserve is a foreign corporation. It's not federal. It's not American. It's a foreign corporation. So we get our money from a foreign corporation. Are you happy with that as being an American? Are you satisfied with that? Are you happy with that? Now, I don't know what's going on with my communications here. I'm going to have to try to get something together. Seth, could you try getting our guest on Skype, if you could, this evening? And I'm going to go on with this monologue right now. I can't answer the telephone in the middle of a radio show. Can't do it. So I'm going to go on now. So they've stolen the gold. They've stolen trillions of dollars. They're still stealing trillions of dollars. And there are people waiting for money all over the world, including in this country. There are people that put honest cash out to make investments, and they deserve to get that money back and the return and damages for what's been stolen from them. This has been going on for a number of years. This has probably been going on since 1983 up to 2009. We can say at least 25 years, 26 years this has been going on. 26 years, and they're just reporting $1.1 trillion, and this woman who is the Inspector General can't even account. She can't even honestly answer the question. Yes, we know, or we looked into who got the $1.1 trillion, or no, we haven't looked into it. But she had to say, well, you know, we don't have all the facts, and we have to do this, and we have to do that. I can't answer that question. You can answer the question. I can answer it for her. I've been talking about it for 3 years on this show. And yet, my listeners know this, and yet the damn mainstream media doesn't print a word of it, doesn't broadcast a word of it. They're putting Britney Spears and all these blonde bimbos on the air. And you people suck it up. It's ridiculous. You suck it up, and you can't get enough of it. American Idol and Dancing with the Stars and all these reality shows. Who's going to get saved off the island, or who's going to get knocked off the island? And it's all done in a studio, as we've talked about on past shows. This is all brainwashing. Now, the money is made out of thin air. But they're assigning this debt. They're stealing people's properties. They're putting people out on the street. You got people living in tents, if they're lucky enough to have a tent. You got people, homeless people, can't eat, don't have medical care. And I'm not talking about government-sponsored medicine. I mean a decent doctor seeing a person suffering, going up to that person and taking them to their office, taking them to a clinic or a hospital, and treating them for free. Obviously, they made enough money from the pharmaceutical companies and the outrageous fees they charge for normal, simple procedures that they can perform. I wonder what doctors pay for surgeries like that. And we talked about the issue last night about the fact that when you're born, a hospital gets between $5,000 and $10,000 just to sign a birth certificate and hand it over to the authorities, which enslaves you. And people are asleep. People are not paying attention to what's going on. Now we got news again that money is supposed to be coming to these banks and coming to investors that put money out. This is to empower the people around the planet. This is called Nisara. Okay? Now, this is an intel report from Casper from May the 14th, okay? And here we are. We're still on May the 14th, except the East and Central time zones now are May the 15th. Okay, so this is either today or yesterday, depending on where you are in this country. The World Court has just advised 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, that's the 14th, quote, we will not be able to notify the people today regarding package pickup at the airports after all. This is another stall tactic, I'm letting you know. Yesterday afternoon and evening, the official word from the court was that instructions for distribution to the Freedom participants to include times and pickup locations would be provided at 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time this morning by fax from the court with public posting allowed. Okay, the World Court, word has it, is in this country trying to enforce the payment of funds owed to countries all over the world. And first on the list are these banks in America. And we're not talking about the central banks here now. We're talking about private investment banks, private investors that expected a return, putting good, hard-earned cash into funds expecting a return. And this is about doing the right thing, not about stealing it. I go on with this article. We are aware that Bush, Clinton, Obama, Roberts, and much of the D.C. criminal class have again been demanding overnight and this morning immunity from the World Court. Now, they've stolen trillions of dollars, folks, and they want immunity. Why do we tolerate this? Every hour, on the hour this morning, the court has advised that the fax containing instructions is nearly ready and will be forthcoming within minutes. The program participants, in other words, were expecting to go to the local airports and pick up their packages. We're talking about enormous amounts of money to be redistributed and returned to the people that originally put this money out. We must now question what is going on. To what extent are they involved in further shenanigans with the Bush, Clinton, Obama bunch, and which side of the fence they are on at this particular moment? This morning they said the immunities had been denied. Circumstances cause us to wonder if this was or is true. We were moment, suddenly we are not today. We smell a skunk. What the hell are you people doing over there? Have you been lying to us and the country since yesterday or just since this morning? Are you again stalling to accommodate the U.S. criminals, Bush, Clinton, and Obama, and that's both Clintons, by the way, or are you now following the orders of the Queen and Higgins? We are fed up with this crap. We are aware some of you don't want the programs paid out at all, so allow us to advise you that we will be paid, and we mean now. We have withheld intel, thinking its disclosure unnecessary in view of pending deliveries. We are revisiting that subject now, and perhaps the world should be made aware of certain things after all. Perhaps some heads should roll. The Queen does not want any programs paid and has instructed Higgins, this is a representative, by the way, here in the States for the Queen, to stall, delay, sabotage, block, stop. She does not want the United States to return to its original constitution and to regain its independence from her. This is an ongoing problem, and the primary motivation for her sabotage through Higgins in cooperation with the Octopus, which is represented by Bush, Clinton, Obama. Countries, what are you doing about the lies you and we have been fed since yesterday afternoon? Now, keep in mind, folks, this has been going on for years, but they promised that these funds were coming out tomorrow, meaning today. Get off your butts and demand answers. It's time you stop running your mouths and take action. The court's fax machines, telephones, and emails have been overloaded all day today. Perhaps you, the court, would like to have a call and a fax and an email from every program participant in the world. Would you like that to happen? If you think you can stop this refunding of the world, you are sadly mistaken. Obviously, the expected start of the official notification process scheduled for 9 a.m. this morning has been delayed or stopped, and the hour-by-hour put-offs were lies. We now await further news and will update again when possible. P.S. Additional confirmations just arriving say Higgins acting on behalf of the Queen is the current problem. Several of the other judges are afraid of her and the Queen. Other judges want the programs paid immediately. Attention countries, this is the World Court. This is your court. The primary responsibility for overcoming Higgins falls to you. Get busy, do what you must do. Now, why am I reading this? Well, this is describing behind the scenes what's going on. More of what's going on. Now, there's, I guess Seth is still trying to get a hold of our guest here. There's another short message here to the members of the World Court. We know you are hardworking people. We know your salaries are not that high. We have been doing some investigating in Germany, Switzerland, and Liechtenstein. Considering what we have uncovered, you folks must have one hell of a retirement plan at the World Court. We are not finished yet, but so far we have found one account belonging to the chief of your tribe containing more than $1 trillion. Now, I ask this rhetorical question. Might this be the $1 trillion that was asked of the Inspector General today, which she knew nothing about? We have also found accounts belonging to the chief's Indians containing amounts well into the billions of dollars. We are curious to know how you accumulated these vast sums from your meager salaries. Our investigations are ongoing and not yet completed. When finished, we will attach names and amounts to every account. We can always find financial types willing to work for the people, some of the time. They are working for us even now. We expect to have further news for you soon. So, despite what you might read in Bloomberg News or what you might see on C-SPAN or you might catch on CNN, MSNBC, Fox, or any of the other networks, the real story is more in line with what I just read on this show. You should be outraged. And I'm sick of people saying, oh, yeah, Barack Obama is doing a good job. The guy is as much a thief, if not more, than George W. Bush was. And George W. was just doing the bidding of his father and the Clintons. He was a puppet. Now, I'd like to see if my guest is on.
Yeah.
Ken, are you with us?
Yes, I am, Don.
Okay, yeah, we had trouble getting a hold of you, so I had to roll with the show as usual. Welcome to Evident Footprints.
Thank you. I heard a fair amount of your statement. A very, very well done. Very important information. A necessary rant. So couldn't think of a better way to fill the time than to say what you did say. What I heard was spectacular.
Well, I'm pretty upset this evening, and I know a lot of other people are, well-meaning people that are trying to do some constructive things for the people in this country, especially the downtrodden, people that have been hoodwinked and robbed, really, of their life savings, their property, and their dignity, not to mention having lost jobs. I'm sure we can count all those people, and to think that there are soldiers overseas giving up their lives while these criminals get away with the murder and the rampant theft. of the public's money. This is our money.
Yes, that's why I thought it was such a good rant. Since we're talking about that very point, it's a sore point with me because considering the amount of money that the Congress authorizes, this is authorized money that goes to military spending. Well, I was just listening on the radio today, I believe. I put up an article yesterday concerning a Florida congressman who, it was an article that was actually posted in February by a man named Corsi. He talked about a Florida congressman who sponsored this outrageous, outrageous bill to authorize even more larger FEMA type camp detention facilities to be used in what he, you know, referred to in his sponsorship as for emergencies. It's simply outrageous when you read the substance of the bill. This guy's authorizing concentration camps. Now, of course, we've known that they've been building concentration camps called FEMA detention centers. They're concentration camps. In America, it's been going on actually since the 60s. It began in the 60s, but the intensity of building really picked up in the 80s and 90s. And now, we know there are over, since 9/11, of course, the creation of Homeland Security, we know there are over 800 plus surface detention camps, but you have these underground cities that Phil Snyder reported on in 95, that construction has been going on since the 60s. It actually began then. So this bill, which this guy sponsored, is authorizing this expansion of these facilities. Now, since you mentioned homeless, there's no legitimate reason why a country as wealthy as the United States should have any homeless whatsoever. There is just no reason.
Well, this country's bankrupt and has been since 1933.
Yeah, I got that, but I'm talking about we definitely have the resources to prevent anyone from being homeless, but they're spending, this is what I heard on the radio today, they're spending 66% of the discretionary budget. That's the portion of the U.S. budget that's not already allocated, you know, Medicare, Social Security, and essentially untouchable. This is of the funds that Congress can say something about. 66% of it is going to military spending. That's insane with a capital I. There's no war. There's no longer a Cold War. There's no enemy. And they've just made up these concocted, foolish, nonsensical reasons to justify these continued military spending. And when you think that we've the United States is responsible for 1.5 million lives in Iraq since they invaded Iraq. How about the 10 years prior to the invasion of Iraq, which were starving people and the secret and the bombings and so forth? And then we depleted uranium. How many Iraqi citizens, were born to this foreign? How many? It's we're committing genocide over there.
The depleted uranium is making its way around the whole globe.
Oh yeah, it's not just them, but they're the first, the foreign babies are showing that they're dropping these depleted uranium weapons all over the place. It's in the dust. It's in the air. Of course, our troops are getting it too if they're there during, you know. So 66% going to military spending for what? I had an important man
who was one heck of a scientist. The man was unbelievable. He was so highly trained, he was off the chart. I won't go into details, but through a series of personal tragedies that essentially began with his wife leaving him, that set into motion. That occurred about 10 years ago. His wife left him in 1999. But that set into motion a cascade of events that eventually led to him being homeless on the street. And I was trying to assist him in the last year or so that he's been homeless. In fact, we were getting ahead of the game so that he could get enough money to get by with food and clothing and wash and a location to sleep and a sleeping bag. You know, here in Southern California, even in the winter, it doesn't get that cold. But he unexpectedly died in the beginning of April outside. He had a location that he and a group of other homeless people had a bridge abutment they were sleeping under to keep out of the rain. And he was warm enough and all that. I'm not even sure why he died, but he was 60 years old. The point is he'd been homeless for a year. It certainly took its toll on his health. I mean, I could see, you know, he used to be much spry, more spry looking, became more withered and wizened looking in the time he was homeless. And, you know, it's not a fun deal. But had he not been, let's say, part of the large number of people in this country who are not taken care of by the government the way they should have, had he been treated the way we should be treating our citizens, well, he would not have been homeless. And the steps that led to his homelessness, I won't go into the details, but it is, again, the government, particularly here in California, or people outside of the state who don't know, is a beautiful place. The weather's very warm, and we have palm trees, and it looks beautiful. The police are something else. It's like a police state here. And you just don't want to tangle with the police here because, you know, you're going to have trouble. There was just a situation yesterday in Monte, California. They were capturing a man after a car chase all over the town. He was trying to evade being caught by them, and they finally went after him. He bolted from the car and ran through backyards. Finally, he was caught in the backyard. Well, he just gave up. Someone took a video of this, you know, unknown to the police. The guy lay spread eagle on a backyard on the grass, just waiting for the cops. The first cop that came up to him did was, this man is laying face down in the grass, spread eagle. The first thing he did is he kicks him right in the head as if his head was a football, you know, for the Saturday, you know, for the Sunday night game, you know, to win the World Series. It's amazing. Just kicks him in the head like his head was a football. That kind of abuse, you see it a lot. It's unbelievable. So this friend that I'm talking about unexpectedly died. If you're on the street, you're going to have hassles with the cops, and he did. And he's not the type to give anybody a lip or to try to give any trouble. He was just caught. He was under this overpass. Well, the cops at times have come there and raided and just arrest all those people for illegal camping. So, you know, they can get you to go to court. You got to go do that routine. So they keep you in jail until you know, it's just unbelievable the kind of hassles that he went through. And it's certainly aggravating.
The people that created that situation are the ones that should be in jail.
Yeah. You know,
and have their heads kicked like a football.
Exactly. So that's why I particularly enjoyed listening to, you know, to your opening statement, because it touched on that issue. I mean, I wouldn't want to be homeless. I mean, it's a terrible situation. And I know this guy was not on the street because of drugs or alcohol. That's not the reason he was there. He became essentially economically broken when his wife had left him, and I won't go into all the details, but frankly, it wasn't his fault. He was a victim of circumstances, and much of it state-sponsored abuse of its citizens, particularly here in California. They, you know, have this deal. If you, you know, people get unfairly ID'd for things that have serious consequences that often they're not even guilty of committing a crime. I can tell you how, well, this isn't just in California, but it's throughout the country. But this terrible conduct of this so-called Child Protective Services, this branch of state and local police that kind of work with social workers, so that if you have someone who wants to put pressure, a lot of pressure on a parent, they just pick up the phone and they can anonymously report them as, quote, abusing their child to the CPS. And the person who's making the complaint is not required to identify themselves. So anybody can accuse you of anything. And it's happened again and again and again. They will come to the parent's house and they will insist on coming inside and insist on seeing the child. And it's happened on more than one occasion. They'll just take the child with them. And the parent has no idea what's going on. They might have, for instance, there was cases where sometimes parents were not comfortable, did not want their kids to be vaccinated, for instance, at a hospital. This happened to Len Horowitz some years ago. I forget how long ago. He had, it was his own child. He just, I think I mentioned to you on another show that he had a heck of a brouhaha with the Board of Health in Hawaii because his 14-year-old daughter was starting high school. He didn't want her vaccinated, and they had a showdown over this vaccination. Well, I think it was that same child when she was born in a hospital. This was like in New Jersey or New York. He lived in the Northeast at the time. He was in a he tells this story in his lectures that he was giving. You know, in the late 90s, I used to go to these health expos, and I heard some of his lectures in person. And he mentioned his story that they were, you know, going to call the police unless they forced the vaccination on his child. He was there at the hospital. I think they took the child into the hospital because something happened to the kid, and they were worried about something. I forget the, but he had this big problem with them, and they threatened to call in, you know, the police and you know, child protectives. This is outrageous. This fascist mistreatment of American citizens, and then this whole idea that just all these homeless people are in tents, and all those people that, because of that so-called housing bubble and the subprime mortgage business, a lot of people lost homes. You have all these empty condos and houses that are just sitting there empty. Instead of the government, if they cared about the people, first they wouldn't have let it happen. Instead of giving the money to bankers in Wall Street, which is utterly insane, they could have just sponsored the people who were losing the mortgages.
We've talked about why this is going on. I mean, you're just dealing with corruption, and these people are just trying to destroy this country. This is not innuendo here. We're not, you know, this. Yeah. We're not hinting that this might be going on. This is what is occurring. Anybody can see this. You know, they had NAFTA, they had CAFTA. You know, for those that don't know what that stands for, the North American Free Trade Agreement and the Central American Free Trade Agreement. What the heck is that? All it's done is destroyed this nation's economy. You've got illegal aliens, which you mentioned, coming into this country. They don't care about that because it further puts a stress on the economy, further puts a stress on taxpayers, and the taxes are illegal. We've been saying this from day one. The taxes are illegal. The Federal Reserve is illegal. It has no business under the Constitution being here. The guy sitting in the White House is illegal. Come on. Now, I'm going to rant a moment here.
So that's fine. Go right ahead.
You know, they mentioned, let's bring up this money issue here again. And you know, this isn't about the money per se. It's about what they're doing and the impact it has on people's lives, okay? Let's look at the quality of life that people have, and let's look at these bastards that have their Swiss bank accounts, their accounts in Liechtenstein, or in Monaco, or in the Caribbean, or in Panama, or in Brazil, or Singapore, Hong Kong, you name it. Wherever they have the money stashed away, when they went to Iraq and began murdering Iraqi citizens, under the pretext of looking for Saddam Hussein, because he aided and abetted Al-Qaeda, which is a CIA creation anyway, and Osama bin Laden. Okay? Bin Laden died in December of 2001. The whole world knows this. And they still have the audacity to broadcast news reports and put out bogus tapes to create this fear, to create this terror. I mean, it's so ridiculous. You have more, you can make more sense out of a cops episode on Fox than you can out of what they're doing in this government. Now, when they went into Iraq, began murdering millions of people, and chasing another four and a half million out of the country who fled for their lives so they wouldn't be hit by neutron bombs or chemical bombs, or depleted uranium, they went into the central bank of Iraq and robbed it, stole $100 trillion worth of gold, money, their currency, artifacts, rare gems, you name it. Whatever they had stashed in that museum and in the central bank in Baghdad, they stole. Then they turned around and murdered the guys that they had go in and get it. They had them murdered so they wouldn't be around to tell what they did. And this is, they're over there fighting for freedom? That's what you call freedom? Or they like to say they're fighting for democracy. Alright? And I've been reporting this. Why? I can think of better things to do with my time than to report corruption. But it's going on. And it's, for some reason, it doesn't sink in the public's brain. The people are so brainwashed and propagandized. There's no hope for them. There's absolutely no hope. And it doesn't take everybody in the country to turn this around. It can be done with a handful of people that have the courage to stand up to this, to speak out about it, and to do something about it once and for all. I submit that these guys that keep bringing up this legislation, let them go into the concentration camps. We should be hurting all of them, or we should be building a fence around Washington, D.C., and make one big concentration camp out of it. That's what we should be doing. I'm tired of the rhetoric. I'm tired of the propaganda. I'm tired of the BS from people that are creating laws that they themselves don't have to abide by. And the laws mean nothing anyway. They're all illegal. They're all corrupt. They're all violating every law they ever created. And they're pedophiles on top of it. They're trying to pass legislation now to allow themselves as pedophiles to be held harmless for abusing children. And you in the listening audience were talking about your children. Oh.
Okay, let me stress something, though. I need to remind, though, if you're in, if you're doing the sort of work you're doing, if you're both investigating, researching, I should say, and doing radio shows and writing articles that expose government corruption, you're repeating the themes of this corruption over and over again. From an investigator's writer's perspective, it can seem exasperating because you see the public as if, in a way that, as if, you know, you're, we almost, I guess, get a mental mindset in that we're speaking to the same group of people, but they don't seem to be getting it. But the reality is that everyone's who might hear this, who might see something on the internet that leads them to a widening understanding about the corruption you're talking about, the New World Order takeover and destruction of the United States, and the complicity of officials, particularly the U.S. Congress, beginning with the U.S. Congress, but secondarily, state governors and state assemblies are often playing a similar role, but not to the same degree. The worst offenders of this takeover treason is the U.S. Congress, both Senate and the House of Representatives, because it is their job to prevent this legislations, et cetera, from ever becoming law. It's up to them to do their part. And then when you have a corrupt judiciary, when you have a Supreme Court, for instance, which is supposed to be the highest court of the land, the people on the court, if they're playing ball with the agenda to a greater and greater degree, which is what's happened, what they do is they put on the Supreme Court, particularly, you know, going back with the Bushes, Bush 1, for instance, if you start putting guys on the Supreme Court that are essentially cooperating with the agenda, well, eventually the whole court, the upper, you know, all nine members are sort of in bed with the New World Order, and then you see that they allow unconstitutional things to go by the board. Bush 2 did not win the election. He was appointed the president by the Supreme Court. They don't have the constitutional authority to do that, but they did it anyway.
And they said, but they claim they didn't do it because they say that's a political issue. It's corruption. You know, we're talking about corruption here.
No, they had no business stepping into. They had no business making any decisions. What happened is, if you recall, it had to do with the votes in Florida. They had Jeb Bush at the time was the governor of Florida. His brother's running for president. And what happens is that they simply dumped a lot of Democratic votes that would have gone to Gore. They disenfranchised particularly black voters. There was a big scandal. It was a huge number. I forget, 170,000, 200,000. It was a big number. They were saying people were ineligible who were eligible, so they scotched their vote. They said there was, if you recall, Chad hang-ups. And, I mean, they had, and there was a woman there who was, forget her name, Harris. Wasn't Barbara Harris?
She was Catherine Harris,
right. She was part of the Florida Election Committee
or
something.
She was the Secretary of State.
Secretary of State, thank you, right. And she, of course, is a Bush appointee, lackey for the Bush family. And she absolutely played ball with this. And it was the Supreme Court who should have, you know, they essentially gave the election to Bush. And what they should have done is they could have insisted on a recasting of the ballot. They could have done a lot of things that were constitutional. But because you have Supreme Court appointees who are in bed with the agenda, who are sufficiently controlled, they made an unconstitutional decision that allowed Bush to enter office. Now, Al Gore, had he been elected, had this Supreme Court corruption not taken place, and had he been elected, would have, he's the same Illuminati puppet that, you know, George Bush was. So in that sense, the Illuminati goes forward. However, though, it wouldn't have been that next, you know, chink in the Illuminati's takeover, you know, the next notch in the takeover plan wouldn't have been fulfilled if enough of the country had, you know, really risen up. Now, you have outrageous conduct that's just going off the chart. I just put up a couple articles. I reposted a couple articles, I should say, that a friend of mine, Keith Howe, sends me a lot of great articles, were posted back in February. And I just reproduced them on my website. They're very well done. One was by Chuck Baldwin. If you remember, he's one of the fellows who ran for president in the last time around. He was essentially saying it's getting dangerous now, meaning that the boldness of this attempts to actually completely subvert this country, the steps they're taking, similar to this. To this Alcy Hastings down there in Florida, who sponsored this bill that Corsi had, so brilliantly, written about and explained. This is treason. There's no other proper way to describe it. So we do need indignant rants of the sort that you started the show with to make it known.
I thought it was dignified, to tell you the truth.
Well, you don't understand. You know, you're outraged. You're indignant at the outrage of it, because it is so large. As you say, there's nothing subtle about it. This is sledgehammer subversion. You know, this is not subtle backroom smoky subtle things. This is in your face subversion of the Constitution and the people and the government. And it's not going to stop. And I think one of these articles that I put up by a guy named Wallace, a terrific article. He published originally on February 28th. I just put it on my current news page yesterday. Terrific article. Ex-state trooper, name is Wallace. Very well done. He's saying the majority of the decisions that the government is unconstitutional, which is quite true. Everything we're experiencing now is a result of the false flag operation called 9/11. That's what created the pretext for a pre-written Patriot Act, which was, just ramrodded through. There was no reading. There was no debate. It was just ramrodded through. Patriot Act set up Homeland Security. Homeland Security is bad news for the people of this country, because it gives them a Gestapo-like organization that trumps state agencies, trumps state police, it trumps, so that they're coordinating this amalgamation of UN-founded, UN-sponsored, I should say, police groups. This began with Clinton's administration in the 90s. They started meshing U.S. City police forces, state police forces, county police forces, with these so-called Partnership for Peace organizations and troops. The ADL also, by the way, the Anti-Defamation League, started to ensconce itself with police departments from one coast to the
other. Ken, your audio is stuttering a bit here. So,
okay. Is that okay now?
Okay, it stopped. Yeah, you were sort of freezing up there. So,
okay, what I'll do is, as I talk, I'll close down more stuff.
Let me make a point here. The local sheriffs have jurisdiction above and beyond any federal jurisdiction. The local sheriffs can tell the federal government to get the hell out of town, and there's nothing they can do about it.
Yeah, I'm aware of that. I've been aware of that for a few years. But we're talking practicality versus what really takes place. First, how many sheriffs stand up? Yes, there's been a few cases of
Well, that's
sheriffs.
That's what they have to do. I mean, the fact that they're not doing it.
I understand that. But we're talking the practicality. Where I was moving in my thought was that the American public, it needs to recognize the need to dismantle this apparatus that has been erected as a result of 9/11. Because if by now, good Lord, so many years after the fact, 9/11 was September 11th, 2001. It is now May 2009. So we have 8 years. The evidence that 9/11 was an inside job, an internal demolition of the building using high tech, is so obvious to a very large segment now. They need to say, okay, if 9/11 was due to subversion and sabotage from within, that means the government is complicit in it. There, of course, these planes and the hijackers, it was a contrived, made-up, fantasized excuse for what happened. We know that the buildings came down because of internal sabotage. And as the other events that happened, the earlier attacks in the World Trade Center, the Oklahoma City bombings, there was a number of cases in earlier decades, the 90s particularly, in which the government was behind these internal acts of sabotage to create the pretext so that they can ramp or install their fascist Illuminati takeover agenda. Therefore, we need to have enough citizens to realize 9/11 was internal sabotage due to, betrayal of those who are supposed to protect us. First, the military, the Pentagon, obviously was complicit in 9/11. A missile was sent into the Pentagon, and they've had these missile batteries around the Pentagon since what, the early 60s? They were prepared to take out of the sky. They don't have to depend on scrambling fighter planes. We've had missiles there for 40 years, 50 years, ringing the Pentagon that could have any genuine attack on the Pentagon would have not succeeded, because we certainly had the technology to prevent it. Why is it in 2001 technology, which we've had in place, obviously in advancing versions of it with every passing year, in place, could not stop what we're told is a plane? Well, we know it wasn't a plane. We know it was a missile, because the Pentagon's involved with sending the missile in there. So
into the financial offices, by the
way.
Oh,
yeah, like you said, and they were targeting the location of the hit because they wanted to take out certain records. They wanted to take out certain people. I know you're in your show you did with Phil McConnell.
And David Hawkins.
Yeah. David Hawkins. They said that, that missile must have hit, I forget the name of the fellow they were referring to, but right between the eyes. They wanted to have it hit in a certain location of Pentagon to both destroy records and to destroy certain selected individuals. They wanted to wipe out that day. Okay, getting back. We need to obviously go become very agitated and treat with contempt, as this fellow Wallace said in his essay, those who are so blatantly betraying us. And this man in Florida is a perfect example of that. This guy should be, harassed every time he comes and goes to his car, in Washington, or when he goes back to his home state. This man should be hounded from office. That every one of these people in the Congress who are sponsoring these bills that are blatant attempts, to enslave us, these people need to feel the heat from the citizens. And this guy's recommendations were right on cue. These people need to feel a lot of heat. We need to dismantle all of these organizations that have been erected as a result of 9/11, as a result of the Patriot Act. Obviously, the Patriot Act itself needs to be repealed.
Well, and not just got that. We've got to get rid of the Federal Reserve, the IRS, and Homeland Security, and FEMA, and all of these little organizations that they've created to oppress the Constitution and what was erected underneath the Constitution, under the umbrella of the Constitution, and including the people behind it. Including these people behind it. I don't care if they're on the media. I don't care if they ran for office. I really don't. I don't care. And that's the reason for my rant, okay? It's sounding to me like that article was written in the tone of my rant this evening.
Oh, it was.
And I'm speaking for a lot of people. I'm not speaking alone. You know, when I mentioned earlier at the top of the show that I called into Rick Adams' show tonight, he played the actual grilling of the Inspector General of the Federal Reserve. And this woman danced around the answer. He asked a question that can be answered yes or no. Simple. But, you know, you have to have every reason in the world for not saying it. Why? Because to answer yes or no implies that she knows about the corruption. You see? How can you have that job and not know as the Inspector General? How can you not know it? I'm a host of a radio show, and I happen to be a journalist and a musician, and I know what's going on. And I'm not there. I'm not there to see the numbers and to see what's going on. You know, it's been reported very recently that there's stacks of counterfeit money, shrink-wrapped, that they intend to either pay to countries, foreign countries who are owed money, whose money's been stolen from them. They're going to repay the money with counterfeit bills, or they're going to saturate our economy with counterfeit bills. What does it matter if it's a Federal Reserve note or a counterfeit bill? They're both illusions, right? You know,
yes.
We've got to wake up and start taking control. That's what we have to do. You know, and there's no mincing of words. I'm not worried about offending anyone at this point. You know, and if you want to call this hate speech, I hate what they do. The speech is targeted to what they do. I'm identifying the corruption. I'm identifying who is corrupt. And it's coming out in the media now. It's coming out. But you see, it's a smoke screen. It's a tiny little diversion. You know, it's like the Madoff scandal, the $50 billion. That's a drop in the bucket. It's a drop in the bucket. And that's their little scapegoat. You see, that's their patsy. That's the guy that takes the fall. And where is he? He's living high on the hog in his mansion.
Yes, I know.
You know, while his wife is moving the monies around. You know, George H.W. Bush, you know, you're not the president. Get the hell out. You know, you've got Alzheimer's. Go check into a clinic and start taking some drugs and leave us alone. And the Clintons, the same thing. You know, they're all in the corruption. I mean, they've got Hillary Clinton. They know, the FBI knows. Now, why they didn't arrest her, I can't say. But they got her going into the Bank of Crozier in the West Indies, and they know that she took at least $750 billion out of that bank. Think about that. That's exactly how much money the bailout was supposed to be, right?
That's right.
But they're saying, yeah, the bailout's going to be $10 trillion. Well, Bloomberg reports 9. Congress is questioning the Inspector General about $1.1 trillion. There's $10 trillion. But then they failed to mention, this is why I called up Rick Adams, they failed to mention the original $27.5 trillion that they hypothecated and stored or stashed in offshore accounts. And when those accounts were frozen eventually and they couldn't play with them anymore, then they said, oh yeah, you know, we have to save the banks. We had IndyMac go under and then Countrywide go under. And this is all corrupt. All of those things are played in the bond markets. And I've got a list of over 6,000 people that are involved just in the bond market through my research. When I was researching Obama, I came across the list. You'd be amazed how many people in this country that work in a city council, work for schools, work for funeral homes, work for the police, county commissioners, judges, you name it, doctors, lawyers. They all have addresses in Hoffman Estates, Illinois. It's interesting. They show an address in Hoffman Estates, Illinois. Why is that? Well, it's run by First American Credco, and they call it First American Tax and Financial Services in the Chicago area. Okay, Hoffman Estates, Illinois, is where they run this company, and they're involved in the illegal and the criminal impoverishment of litigants in the courts. So, like you were describing, how they go after, you don't want your kid vaccinated, they're going to arrest you, they're going to take your kids away, they're going to steal your property, they're going to raid your bank account, they're raiding pension funds, setting up people that own companies, they're stealing the pension funds, then they're stealing the companies and divvying them up between judges and lawyers, and then laundering the money in Maricopa County, Arizona, and Salt Lake City, and Provo, Utah, and Ogden, Utah. And I've seen the trail, you see. This is the reason why the mortgage industry went down, because they stole the money. Pure and simple, they stole the money. They played it like gambling chips in Las Vegas in a keno game. And, you know, it's a Ponzi scheme. This is the whole point. This is not bona fide securities. And the SEC knows about it. 9/11's got a paper trail the SEC should know about. Billions of dollars were made through the murder of people from all over the world in New York City and in Washington. Billions and billions of dollars stolen. Ugh. So it bears repeating. It bears hammering until people get it, Ken.
Yes, I understand. I'd like to, though, point out there's a lot of details of a lot of corruption scenarios, because you dig into the story, you've written about the story, that you're well familiar with the depths of the case. Now, the average person perhaps listening to the show does not know the details, and because we're jumping a lot from one area of corruption to the next, and because you're privy to a lot of in-depth knowledge about each area that most people probably might not recognize completely what you're referring to.
Well, the only way they're going to learn it is to hear it.
I understand, but what I would like to do, though, is to just focus on the principle of how we should think about preventing the further advancement of the New World Order takeover, and it's necessary to take action. Just talking about it or just reading about it and becoming aware of it, but not doing anything in your personal life is not going to stop it. So the traditional way that to bring political pressure, for instance, contacting your representative, sending them a letter, et cetera, it doesn't work today simply because I call them NWO sellouts. Traders, it's not an overstatement. It's an accurate assessment of their conduct. Simply won't work. Trying to pressure them in the traditional way, they're not responding to the electorate's concerns. They're responding to, first, the hidden power players that they won't talk about publicly, they won't admit, but they're controlled through, in almost all cases, through blackmail. Just about everyone in Congress has blackmailable information that could be made public if they got out of line. That's, if you remember Elliot Spitzer there, he got out of line with the Illuminati. I'm not sure of the reasons. Probably he was, probably had to do with their bailout scam, probably wasn't cooperating with the agenda to hand over the money to Wall Street bankers, et cetera, et cetera. So they had this information ready to go. They probably had a lot of pieces of information on them. They just chose one that would work
in the media, so they can get him out. That was a signal not only to him, but to everyone else who's on the governor level, on the federal level, et cetera. When you don't play ball with the Illuminati, they take action against you, and they boot you out of the job. And that's just what they did. So they just have to parade whatever chosen tidbit of blackmail. But they have blackmail pretty much in everyone. In reading Bryce Taylor's book, for instance, Thanks for the Memories, she wrote in 1999, she was a high-level MKUltra, a victim of mind control, who was involved with many of the highest politicians in the country and around the world. And what she had reported in her, as well as other victims of mind control programming who did write books, Kathy O'Brien, for instance, reported that they were required, they were sex slaves, both those girls. They were required, like, to do, have sex sessions with governors, with members of Congress, House and Senate, et cetera. And the participants knew they were being filmed in the interest of having the film to keep for blackmail. She reports that she had these sex encounters with the then president of Mexico. He knew he was being filmed. They essentially acquiesce or agree to this notion that, well, it's to keep you in the camp, we're going to, you know, have blackmailable material on you, and therefore you've got to do this, or you have to do this pedophilic stuff with very small children. We're going to film it all, so that they have this blackmailable material on these people. To be, you know, these people sell their souls. To be part of this deal, you know, they don't have to, like, do it secretly. This is openly understood that they're being filmed in, you know, illegal conduct or, you know, really outrageous behavior that would normally produce a scandal if it would hit the media in order to control. So most of them are under a blackmail watch, if you will, and willingly so. This is the thing you've got to understand. That a large percentage of them willingly
and blackmail is a crime.
yeah,
you know.
So, but if you play ball with them, so first you agree to, you know, they have this blackmailable stuff on you, and but then the perks flow. You know, the money flows, the deals flow, the power flows into your life. You don't get arrested for anything. You don't get arrested, and you don't get indicted for anything. You get away with a lot of bad stuff. And a lot of these guys become so acclimated to this this freedom from, you know, arrest or indictment, they get really bold, and they, you know, they do some really outrageous things in a public venue. And, you know, if they get too public, then the Illuminati leans on them and warns them to, you know, back out to, you know. But it's amazing how emboldened they've gotten over the decades as this, you know, entrenchment of these traitors has become more and more concentrated with each, you know, passing election.
Yeah, election. We can do a whole show on every single thing they do,
mm-hmm.
and not cover everything.
So that's that's the point. The reason these bills get sponsored, which is what the Illuminati wants, is because they have these people who aren't representing their constituents at all now. It's blatant. They're representing Illuminati interests. So why are they doing it? A, they were groomed and chosen for the job, usually from childhood forward. Al Gore, for instance, came from a patrician political family, Illuminati family. He was subjected to a lot of stuff when he was a child, you know. He's part of the game. They're all programmed. They're all subjected to satanic rituals, et cetera, from a very young age forward. And so they groom him to become, you know, a member of Congress and the vice president and then a presidential contender. The bulk who we talk about and, you know, these the election are groomed individuals for the most part. You have some outsiders who aren't part of the agenda. Alan Keyes, for instance, who can rise to the level of primaries, but never get beyond that, of course. It's just one example. I mean, there are, let's say, free agents out there on the political scene that aren't part of the deal, but they'll never rise to any level of, you know, true. They certainly won't have a chance to actually become president, not at this stage. So what do we do? You can't, of course, if you write a letter, et cetera, you're just going to get lip service. You're just going to get pat form letters, et cetera, if you get a response at all. It depends on, if you write about chemtrails, for instance, you usually won't get a response. But if you write about something political, yeah, you'll probably get a response. It'll be pat, hokey nonsense that you'll get back you can always find a pretext that to an uninformed individual sounds reasonable. If I can control the whole information stream, if I control what you hear on television, radio, you know, we'll call it mainstream media, if I can control all that, well, the arguments that I put forward sound reasonable because I'm limiting what information is presented to be part of the argument. So if you want to, let's say, justify, I'm a member of Congress and I'm sponsoring or agreeing to legislation for even more military spending, I can make it sound legitimate because I can say, well, we're fighting a war on terror and we want to protect our troops in Afghanistan, and you know they showed up in Iraq, they didn't have enough armor and so forth, so we certainly don't want to put our men, you know, in harm's way, in jeopardy, and all that yada da 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 stuff. But what they don't say is that we shouldn't be in Afghanistan or Iraq because there was no attack on the World Trade Center. It was an inside government job. There is no war on terror. That's part of the propaganda package that went along with the inside job of 9/11. But if when I'm being interviewed on NPR, which is, you know, my favorite propaganda radio outlet on FM at least, that will never be in the equation. We'll only talk about the relative merits of taking troops out of Iraq and building them up in Afghanistan. And nowhere in the conversation will anyone, the commentator or the host or the person who's being interviewed, ever bring up the fact that 9/11 was an inside job. Therefore, the attack on Afghanistan and Iraq, totally unjustified, we shouldn't be. That never is heard. So a lot of people who are bamboozled are only hearing the limited elements of the, quote, argument that's presented on mainstream to justify this bill or that bill or to justify infringing on people's life because of a wholly fabricated swine flu epidemic, pandemic, outbreak nonsense that they just, you know, recently tried to put us through a few weeks ago. If you're only hearing the elements that support the propaganda cover story, then it's easy to make it sound reasonable. There's a lot of slick minds out there, lobbyists, etc., writers, speechwriters, who, you know, are wordsmiths. They can put together an argument that sounds reasonable, and it does if you're only given A and B equals C as part of the discussion.
Well, again, that's the reason for my rant. And Ken, we're out of time. I hate to cut off the conversation, but I had to get this off my chest because it's affecting the whole world, you know, what is going on, and people have to wake up. Whether they've heard it before or not, I mean, we talk about these issues every night on this show. I'm quite capable of giving a whole encapsulated summary on the whole thing, as you may have noticed, and I could keep going because there are many other things, but we're out of time. So glad we were able to get you on the air. I'm not going to calm down. Let's put it that way. So I'm going to step up my message and until people finally get it.
Well, it needs to happen that way. As I mentioned, this article by Wallace, I think his name is William Wallace. Can't be sure of the first name, but I know his last name is
William Wallace. Yeah.
Yeah. Very well done article. It's posted on it's reposted on my current news page near the top. And a lot of people should read that because he is outraged and justifiably so. And he's saying this is the way we have to treat the traitors in Congress, such as this Alcee Hastings in Florida. These people need to feel the heat from the American public, not just their people in California, in Florida. They need to feel the public's contempt. And they need to feel a lot of heat, and they're not feeling it. So they don't, there's no counter pressure to keep them thinking twice about sponsoring these sellout, bills that are just enslaving us. You know, we've got to have someone put up a bill to dismantle the FEMA concentration camp system, not enlarge it, enable it even further than what it is.
Well, the whole pretext of creating these bills against hate speech. Now they seem suddenly, after 60 or 65 years, they seem to be suddenly concerned about whether the Holocaust occurred or not. Why is that an issue? Why does that have, that's like, what about abortions? Do abortions occur? Let's talk about that Holocaust. There's 60 million babies that have been aborted or more here in the United States alone. Alone, 60 million babies have been aborted.
Right.
Okay. That to me, that's 10 times the Holocaust, right? If their numbers are accurate.
Correct. Right.
Where's the outrage about that?
Right. So, yeah, it does take reminding of,
Let's put things into perspective, and that's the reason for my rant this evening. Okay? Ken, we got to say goodnight to the listening audience. Let the audience know they can visit your website at educate-yourself.org. And we have you up again coming up in the near future. I don't have my schedule open. Give me a second, and I'll remind you and the listening audience when that is.
Yeah, it's next Wednesday, I believe.
Let's see. Wednesday the 20th. You're right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. So until next week, I'll say goodnight.
Thank you.
And folks, you have been listening to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. Special thanks to Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible. Seth Hendrick on the sound, and most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. I wish you, despite all the rants this evening, a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.